Today's shir is Masechta Baba Metzia, Daf Samach Aleph. We will begin on Daf Samach Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues discussing the Issa of Ribbis. Tanu Rabbanan, the Torah speaks about the Issa of Ribbis, and the Torah says, As kaspecha leisitin lei b'neshach, or b'marbis leisitin achlecha. Ainli ela neshach b'kesef. We would only know that there's an Issa of interest when it's getting paid more money than I lent. Ribbis ba'eichel. How do we know that there's also ribbis with food? That if I lent you food and I expect back more than I gave, that there's an issur ribbis. Tamloim and neshach eichel. Ribbis bekesef menayin. How do we know that there's the word of ribbis applies by kesef as well? Tamloim le'sashach lachicha neshach kesef. The words neshach kesef are superfluous. If it's not here to teach us that there's an issur of neshach when we lend money, because shrei kva nemar leseshach lachicha, and the pasuk says neshach kol dovah sheyishach, so from there we know that everything is included in the issur neshach. Why does the Torah have to single out the words neshach kesef? So one of the ways that we learn the Torah, if it's not necessary for what it's stated, use it for a different purpose, and it's going to teach us it's coming to teach us that there's an Isser of Ribbis Kesef. This Pasuk is speaking to the Loiva, and the Torah is teaching us that there's an Isser Neshach, there's an Isser on the loiva, both by kesef and by oichel, the malva menayin. How do we know that the malva also violates all of these asurim? Says the Gemara, nema neshach b'loiva. The Torah says the word neshach as far as the loiva is concerned. The Torah says l'sashach l'chicha neshach. The nema neshach b'malva. The Torah uses the words neshach by a malva, because the Torah uses the words as kaspecha l'sitin loiva neshach. Just like when we speak about the loiva, as we just finished learning, the Torah did not differentiate between kesef and ben oichel, between neshach and ben ribbis. Both by kesef and by oichel, there's neshach and ribbis. And that was from the loiva's perspective. Af neshach ha'amr b'malva. So too, when we speak about the malva, don't differentiate between kesef and ben oichel, whether it's food or money, bein neshach, bein ribbis, nayin l'rabbis kol dover, and everything, there could be ribbis, not just food and money, tamaloyma neshach kol dover asher yishach. So the Mishnah Melech asks a question. There's a rule that is often learned throughout Shas, that shava kesef kekesef, that something that's worth money has the same halacha as money itself. So all objects have a value. Since everything has a value, if we're learning now that there's neshach and there's neshach and ribbis by kesef, there's obviously going to be by everything else because of the halach of shava kesef ke kesef. So one answer he gives, that since we find that the Torah wrote the words kesef and oichel, we would think that what the Torah means to do by saying those words is to tell us that only by those things there's ribbis, nothing else. Another teretz, he says, if not for that the Gemara, the Torah uses the words kesef, kol davar sheyishach, we would maybe have learnt the pasuk with a klal, a prat, and we would have said l'sashach l'achicha is a klal, kesef v'oichel, and there's a role klal a prat, ein b'chlal, only what's expressly stated in the prat is included, nothing else. That's why the Torah had to go out of its way to say that there's neshach the chol dover ashiyishach, not just kesef and oichel. Ravina brings a different way of learning this. Ravina Amma, loy neshach ba'oichel loy ribbis kesef tzrichi krop. We don't really need explicit psukim to tell us this halacha. Dig that both by kesef and oichel there's neshach and tarbis. We could learn it the iksiv as kaspachalai sitalai b'neshach v'cholch b'marbis. If the way the Torah would have said would be as kaspachalai sitalai b'neshach v'ochol b'marbis, could have karmed. Indeed, we might have come to the conclusion as you now say. But hash to the ksiv, but not at the way the Torah expresses itself, is as kaspachalai sitalai b'neshach v'marbis lai sitain achlacha kri b'hochi. The way to read the pasuk, he says, is as kaspachalai when you're giving kesef, you could have neshech umarbis. And then the pasuk also says, "Beneshech ubemarbis leisitein achlacha." And from here we see that there's neshech and tarbis also by oichel. Ask the Gemara, but what we have here is a very interesting thing: that Ravina, who's an amira, is arguing on the brisa. An amira, the halach is, certainly may not dispute a brisa. So how could a Ravina make such a suggestion? But didn't the Tana just explain that we learn it from a Xerushava? So how could Ravina, the Amira, argue on the Kana? Says the Marhachi Kamar. What Ravina means to say is, if the Pasuk wouldn't have stated this way, I would have indeed learned the Xerushava as the brisa tells us to learn. But Hachshav Shamakra, but he says now that there's an explicit pasuk that explained that way, Xerushava like Tzarek, there's no need for Xerushava. So ask the Gemara, if Ravina has now been able to prove that there is no need for the Xerushava, so Xerushava Lamali, what does the Xerushava come to serve? Says the Gemara, L'neshach kaldava shiyishach loikseh b'malva. That teaches us that not only is the loiva over the Issa ribis by anything, but that the malva as well is over this mirbis by everything, because these words, Kaneshach Kaldava Sheyishach, is only a pasuk that's stated regarding the loiva, not regarding the malva. Amar Rava. So now Rava asks a question. There are three separate averis that the Torah indicates that are all the same. Taking money that I shouldn't be taking. That, like, Lamali the Kasra Chamana, Laba Ribis, Laba Gezel, Laba Ino. Why was it necessary for the Torah to tell us three separate lavim for ribis, gezel, and nob? Says the Gemara Tzrichi, each lav was necessary. Dikas rachmana lav ribis. If the Torah would say only the lav by rib, the Torah has to tell us this by ribis, mishum chiddushu. There's a tremendous chiddush in that lav. The fil beloiva am rachmana. That not only may the malva not take ribis, but the loiva may not pay ribis. Dikas rachmana lav gezel. If the Torah would have only said that gezel involves a lav, when I take somebody's money, when I steal chas v'shalom money, it involves doing something against his force, against him. I'm stealing from him. Avayno, where you're giving me the money voluntarily, emaloi, maybe there's no iser. Vikas rachmana labayno, if the Torah wouldn't have said the labayno, b'shem d'layada d'machal, when somebody's being cheated by being overcharged, so then he doesn't know. But in all these other cases, he knows what he's getting into. So the Sefer Kosher Shuas asks, he doesn't understand the Gemara's question. The reason the Torah mentions a lav by every one of these asurim is to teach us that there's a separate lav for each one of them and not just one lav. So he says what the Gemara is trying to say is that we should not need, that we should be able to establish a lav without the Pasuk even telling us. Another way that the Pnuei Yeshua says is that as we've been learning, the Pasuk, when it speaks about ribis, mentions so many different lavin. And what the Gemara's question means, says the Pnei Yeshua, is that since we could have learned the Issa of Ribis from all these different places, why was it necessary for the Torah to mention the Issa of Ribis so many times? So here the Gemara says that one of the differences between a Noah and Ribis is by Noah, the person doesn't know what he's getting into, and that's why we can't say that he forgave, whereas by Ribis, the person knows what he got into. So now this opens up a very interesting question. If somebody entered into a loan agreement and he agreed to pay interest and he paid it, and then the malva obligated to return that payment. So the Rosh says, the Gemara now, by saying that the difference between ribis and anor is by ribis, you know about it, and you could be meichled, and anor, you don't know. It seems to teach us that by ribis, even if you know, and even if you're meichel, it doesn't permit it. And if a malva received ribis, and the loiva was meichled, he still has to give it back. The Rambam disagrees that if the loiva gave the ribis, and he was meichel the ribis, the malva doesn't have to give it back. Aye, what will the Rambam do with the Rosh's question? So the Ritva wants to say that there's a difference when he was meichel the ribis. If he was meichel the ribis before he paid it, so there, if he already paid the ribis, there he could be meichel. But he can't be meichel the ribis. He cannot be meichel the ribis after he. But if he already paid and then he wants to be meichel, then the halacha would be that you. Then the halacha would be you could be meichel the ribis. But says the Gemara, indeed, chad mechad leasya. Each one of these lavim that the Torah indicates has the unique attribute. And since they have, each one of them has the unique attribute, we can't learn one of these lavim from the other lav. But ask the Gemara, teis chad matati. It should have been adequate for the Torah to have written two of the lavim, and that would have been enough to learn the rest. Says the Gemara, teis chad matati. We should learn chad matati. One lav could be learned from the other two. Ask the Gemara, which one? Hey, teisi. What are you going to suggest? That the Torah should not have written this ribis, the Tesi Mahanach, and we should learn this ribis from Gezel Vainah. Ma'ala Hanach, Shekelein Medas. I know the person is being overcharged, he doesn't know. Gezel, certainly he doesn't know, he's being stolen from. Whereas ribis, the Medate, when a person enters into a ribis arrangement, obviously both the Malva and Loiva are aware what they're getting into. Should the Torah have not written by Anor, but Taysim Mahanach? Ma'ala Hanach, when we have Gzela, or we have Ribis, it's a Ribis is a loan, Gzela is a theft. Shein Kein Derech Megach Mekavakach. Whereas the Anor is done through buying and selling. And the way I sort of Mepharshim explain, when somebody is interested in buying something, he is prepared to pay whatever the price is. And since he's prepared to pay whatever the price is, even if he's being overcharged, maybe that's still going to be considered acceptable. Ella, says the Gemara, what should have been his Lailukta Rachmana, the Torah should have not, Lailukta Rachmana Lava Gezel, the Torah shouldn't have written the Lava Gezel, Taisim Ahanach. We could have learned Gezel from a Tzad HaShava of Ribbis and Anor. The Mai Parak, the Mai Lechein, Lirib Shekein Chiddush, that even the loiva violates Avera, Einar Teichiach. That the Isser on Einar is only the person who did the cheating. Mal Einar Shekein Leyodah Machel. What are you going to say by Einar that the person didn't know what was happening? Ribis Teichiach, where he did know. The Chazar Adain, Leiri Zekri Zev, Leiri Kizekri Zev, nothing is, has a perfect common denominator. However, Hatzara Shav Behen Shigazloi, I'm taking money that I'm not supposed to get. Afani Avi Gezel will learn the same by Gezel, where I got money I wasn't supposed to get, then I'm over alav. Says the Gemara Amri Hachinami. Indeed, it wasn't necessary for the Torah to write a special law by Gezel. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara, a law by Gezel Lomeli, why did the Torah write such a law? To teach us a different halacha. Lekovis Scha Socher. If somebody withholds paying a worker in a timely, proper fashion, that he's over alav. So the Mefarshim ask, there's so many lavin in the Torah that speak about taking money that I don't deserve. Why would I say that this special pasuk is coming to teach us kovis saras sachar? Because by halva or bikadim, in those cases, I already got something. I lent money, or I was asked to watch money, and now I deny that I owe you the money. I deny that I'm watching something. But I have something in my hand already. Kaivis chasacher is that the worker didn't even get paid. So there maybe we would say it's different. So say even kaivis chasacher is considered act of geneva. The Chasam Sofer says that why are we picking out Kovis Chas Sachir? Because when it comes to not paying a worker, it's particularly wrong. Why is that particularly wrong? Explains the Chasam Sofer, what does a worker do? A worker had to work for his money. And after he worked hard to earn his money, you deny paying him what he's owed. That is a very serious aveira. And that's why, explains the Chasam Sofer, Kovis Chasachim asked the Gemara Behedik Sebei, that the Torah already said this a Kovis Chasachim. The Torah says, Leisachar Sachar Oni Ve'evyon. So why would I say that this Pasuk is coming to teach us this halacha, which is already mentioned in the Torah? Answers the Gemara, Lava Lava Shnei Lavin, to teach us that when somebody holds back the wages, you're over two Lavin. And in fact, the Rambam writes, Kol HaKovis Chasachir, this is very much in line with the explanation we just saw from the Chasam Sofer, Kol HaKovis Chasachir, whoever holds back a employee's wages, Kilo Noitel Nafshoi, it's considered as if you're taking away his work. And the Chavetz Chaim has a sefer called Svas Tamim. He says that when you hire a worker, it's critical that you should make up with the worker up front how much you're going to pay him. Because let's say that wasn't agreed upon, and now when the job is done, the worker wants a certain amount of money, and you're not prepared to give it to him, but that may be a violation of Kovis Chasachir. And therefore it's critical that it be made up up front that how much you're paying him, that we shouldn't chas v'shalom come to the avera of Kovis Chasachir. Ask the Gemara, V'luk b'ribis v'na'ah. Maybe we should say the Pasuk Olei Sigzol is coming to teach us the Isser of ribis v'na'ah, and lavalav mishnei lavin. And we'll say that you get even more lavin for ribis v'na'ah. Answers the Gemara, Dava halamed minyani. If we see a lav in the Torah, and we're not exactly sure how to apply that lav, we apply it to the context of what that lav is written in. And the lav of Leisigzoil is next to the lav of Leisashik Esreyacha Leisigzoil. So we're going to say that that's what this lav is going to be about. Ask the Gemara, Leisignavu de Kos Rachman Alamli, and why was it necessary for to tell us the lav of Leisignavu? We could learn, just like we were able to learn, the Gemara just proved that we're able to learn the lav of Leisigzoil from Oinor and Ribis. We could also learn the lav of Leisignoiv from Innes Ribis Reinoa. Why did the Torah have to explicitly say Leisignavu? L'chitanya says, in order to teach us the halacha Leisignavu, L'meikat. Don't steal, not that you want a permanent steal. You have intention to return what you stole. But you stealing just to hurt the person, that's Osir. Leisignavu amnas l'sham teshlum mekefel. You could have a person that you want to give money to, but this person refuses to take money. So you come up with a method how I'm going to be able to give him extra money. I'm going to steal from him, and then after I steal from him, I'll be caught as a ganef. And as we often learn, a ganef has to pay kefil, and that will be the way that I can help this person get money. The halacha is that the Rama and Hilchos Purim say, if people think that taking things from each other in jest is like savel, is considered like sigzail. And the Mishnah Berurah quoting the Shlosh says, Lav Mishnas Chasidim he, it's considered Lav Mishnas Chasidim, and Shoyman Nafshay Yechemizah. And in fact, I even saw that some Paiskim suggest that when we children steal Dafi Kaiman by the Seder, one should never use the word that they're stealing the afikoyman. Leisigzel, gneva is usur, and like our Gemara says, that you're never allowed to steal for that purpose. The Divrei Shaul has an interesting halacha. He says that, let's say you're stealing from somebody because you see that what he has is going to be stolen. That's the way I think I'm protecting his thing. It's not mutter. And the Chidor writes similarly, I'm not allowed to steal from somebody because my goal is that he should learn how to be careful and watch what he owns. The Steichemet says, let's say somebody wanted to steal from somebody, that in order that that person should be left without anything, and like that, people will give him tzedakah. All of that is included in what is learned in our Gemara is not mutar. And the Sefer Chassidim says that there was a very wealthy man, and he had a lot of people in his home, and people would steal money from this wealthy person. And he knew, and there was a son that saw that people were stealing from his father, and he knew his father was a very innocent type person, and worried to come and tell his father people are stealing from you, his father wouldn't believe him. So he wanted to steal from his father to protect his father's assets. And the halacha is that you're not allowed to do that, even though the intention was so very honorable. The halacha is you're not allowed to steal. The Al Gemara is being so strict that you're not allowed to steal under other circumstances. The pasuk says, "Laisasa ova b'mishpat, b'midah b'mishkol b'masura." Amalei Rav Yemi ba'ashi, lav dekos rachmanim b'mishkolus lamali. Why did the Torah have to tell us that we have to be honest with our weight? Of course, if otherwise we're stealing, and we're learning now over and over that the Torah already told us we're not allowed to steal. Amalei, what it's coming to teach us is the taimen mishkolosav b'melech, that somebody puts his weights into salt. Rashi explains that what that does is that when you put a weight into salt, it causes the weight to be heavier, and then when you weigh, you'll be doing something dishonest. Other pshat, some say, is that by putting the weight in salt, you cause the weight to be less. But that also creates dishonesty, says the Gemara. You're right. Ask the Gemara, Haina Gezel Ma'alyu. Says the Gemara, that's considered full-fledged Gevzel. What's special about what is necessary to teach us? Answers the Gemara, Lava Lav Mishasasiya. That what we're learning from here is that even if you didn't use that dishonest weight, just making a dishonest weight and having that type of weight in your home is considered that you were over a lav, that you did something wrong. And I saw that along the same line of what we're learning, that if somebody saw that there's a boy in shul that doesn't put away his tefillin properly, he's not careful to put his tefillin away in the right place, and what he does, and he keeps on telling him, you have to be careful with your tefillin, you have to be careful to put them away properly, and the boy keeps on ignoring him, and he wants to teach him a lesson. The Chashuk Echemen has this discussion, and he hides his tefillin so the boy shall learn his lesson. Is that permissible or not? So his approach is that it depends if the person who does it is a person who's responsible for the chinuch of that boy. If I'm responsible for the chinuch of that boy, then I have to do whatever, then I may do it, because it's not considered an act of geneva. It's considered an act of chinuch. An act of chinuch is permissible. But if I don't have that type of responsibility, then I shouldn't do it. That the Chashuk Echemen also has a discussion. We just learned how incredibly important, and we're going to continue learning, to have honest weights. And the question is, am I allowed to walk into a store where I know that the storekeeper doesn't have honest weights, but it's my intention that when I walk into the store, I meichel him for having dishonest weights? Is that permissible or not? Because it ends up not being an act of geneva, because I knew that his weights are dishonest, and I am meichel him for having this dishonest weight. What would be the halacha? So the Chashuk Echemet says that there's a concept that we often find of halacha, that we're not allowed to support Ramon. We're not allowed to support people who do dishonest things. And therefore, going to a store and where I know that the person has dishonest weights is considered that I'm supporting that, and I'm supporting that. And since I'm supporting that, the halacha is I should not be allowed to do it under any circumstances. If there's a situation where I must buy in that store, what I should do is I should because he has something I need and I can't find it elsewhere, what I should do is when I go to that store, before I walk into the store, I should be meichel him. But under normal circumstances, one should not walk into a store that is dishonest. Says the Gemara Tanna Rabbanan, the pasuk says, Loisasa Ovel, B'mishpat, B'mida, B'mishkol, and Masura. B'mida refers to Medidas Karka, that a person, when he's measuring property, he should be honest the way he measures it. Explains the Braisa. Shlo yimdod lech b'maisa chama. We have two brothers who are coming to divide a property. They're coming to divide a property, and they're using a string, a rope, to measure. One shouldn't do the measuring b'maisa chama in the summer, and one should do b'maisa gishamim. Because in the winter, when it's wet, string expands. In the summer, when it's hot, it contracts. So the Mefarshim ask, isn't that obvious that you're not allowed to do that? That that's an act of Geneva? So what's the Chiddush? So I saw that the Teretz is that when two brothers divide Yerusha, the halacha is that ultimately, by Yovel, it's going to go back. So since this, one can make an argument that this is going to go back by Yovel, so it shouldn't be considered an act of Geneva, teaches us that it's still awesome. You shouldn't put your weights in salt, as we just discussed. That you shouldn't boil up what you're measuring. And what happens is when you boil it up, it pours much quicker and it'll have foam on the top, and therefore that's not going to be honest. Says the Gemara. Let's think about it. That it's a very small amount. Echad mishloishim v'shloishim b'loig, a 36th of a loig. Hikpid alav taira, we see how the taira is being so strict. Avachayma lechin, v'chatzei ahin, v'shlishis ahin, v'viyas ahin, v'loig, v'chatzei loig, v'viyas aloig, which are much more significant amounts, we have to be careful. Ask the Gemara Amar Rav Lamli, the Kos Rachmoni Yitzias Mitzrayim Beribis. We find that by a certain subject that the Torah speaks about, the Torah speaks about Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Torah speaks about Yitzias Mitzrayim by Ribis. The Pasuk says, As Kaspecha Leisitin Loi Beneshech, or B'marbis Leisitin Achlocha, Ani Hashem Lekechem Asher Tzaisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. Then the Torah says, Yitzias Mitzrayim by Tzitzis, Ani Hashem Lekechem Asher Tzaisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. And the Torah speaks about Yitzias Mitzrayim by the parasha of honest weights with Mishkoilis. The pasuk says, Mosnei tzaddik, avnei tzaddik, eifet tzaddik, v'hin tzaddik, yir lechem, ani Hashem alakechem, asher tzaisi eschem, mi'eretz Mitzrayim. Says the Gemara, why was it necessary? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, ani hu shivchanti Mitzrayim. I was the one in Mitzrayim that was able to identify ben tipa shel b'char or tipa shel b'char. One was a b'char and one is not b'char. And as the Mefarshim explained, in Mitzrayim, everybody knows who's a Bechor, the firstborn of the mother. But that's something that everybody knows. In other places, it's not noticeable. But there could be a woman who had relations with many men. And each man, the child that was born from that relation, is a Bechor. But you wouldn't know. And I'm able to be the one to say that I'm lending money, it's not my money, it's a non-Jew's money. Of Davai Somi Soba Ribbis, and it's just using as a subterfuge for Ribbis. And similarly, Misha Taim Mishkeloisa B'melech, somebody who puts his weights in salt, nobody knows and sees that this was done. Or me, Shetala Kali Ilan B'Bigdai, somebody who puts on Kali Ilan, which looks like Tcheles, but it's really not Tcheles. So some say what it means is that he sells Kali Ilan, which is not real Tcheles, as if it really is Tcheles. Another pshat that I saw, that this person walks around with tzitzis, with Tcheles, and everybody says, what a great person. He's so careful to put Tcheles on his tzitzis, but really, it's not Tcheles. It's really not Tcheles. And you're not, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish. The Sefer Likutei Shloima explains that people say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu they say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for making them wealthy, for giving them money. But they don't really feel that in the heart. Why do we know that they don't feel it in the heart? Because they, if they really believe that everything they earn comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they would never lend money on interest. Because they know whatever money I'm supposed to earn, I'll have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway. That's what he says. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows if you say that you're saying thank you to him and that you're recognizing what you have comes from him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth. I saw another shot from Reb Aaron Levine. Reb Aaron Levine, the Reish Rav, he says, if we think about what happened in Mitzrayim, the Ravid asks a question. He says, why is what the Mitzrayim did considered such a terrible Aveira? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that we were supposed to be Avodim Avina Isam, that will be slaves Abamei Shana for 100 years. So they were just doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had decreed. So if they were just doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed, why were they punished? Says the Reish Rav. Where do we see that people, what they're doing, it seems that what they're doing is not wrong, but what they're doing is wrong, is when somebody lends money on ribbis. Somebody who lends money by ribbis, that he is just taking, he's using my money. And I look like I'm just looking to earn money, but what's the Aveira? I did more than I was supposed to. This was the amount of money I was supposed to earn, like we just explained, and you took more than I did, than you were supposed to. And the same thing was the Aveira of the Mitzrim. The Aveira of the Mitzrim was that they took more, that they did more than they were supposed to. Yes, we were supposed to be slaves in the country, but the Avodas Perech that the Mitzrim made us suffer, that wasn't part of the decree. And that's very similar to ribbis. I also saw what is the connection between the ribbis, between the person who has the dishonest weights and the person that puts on kol ilan on his tzitzis versus tchelis. Just like we learned before, that having dishonest weights, the issa doesn't begin when you use the dishonest weight. The issa is having a dishonest weight, as we discussed earlier. The same thing is by the pasul tzitzis. The pasul tzitzis is something that occurs, that as soon as you put pasul tzitzis on your talis, even though you haven't worn them yet, you already did the aveira. We also understand now why it says in Mitzrayim, ani Hashem ani v'lo malach, because the only one that was able to determine who are the Bechayrim and who are not the Bechayrim was only HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvayd HaBa'atzmai. And since it was only HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvayd HaBa'atzmai who has that ability to make that determination, that's why in Mitzrayim it had to be Ani Hashem V'Loi HaMalach. Ravina Iklo L'Sur D'Paras. Ravina came to the city of Sur D'Paras. Amalei Rav Chanina M'Sur D'Paras L'Ravina. Yitzis Mitzrayim D'Kos Rachmona G'Abishrotzim L'Amali. What did the Torah have to speak about Yitzis Mitzrayim by the Isra for us to eat insects? The Torah says, so Ravina responded, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as we just discussed, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to determine who is the Bechor. So too, Ani Osid Liparim Mishim Arav Kibbe Dogim Tamein B'Kibbe Dogim Tairim. Person has fish pieces that are, you can't determine if they're kosher or not. And somebody mixes the non-kosher fish pieces into the kosher pieces. Amalei, ano hamala kakashli. So I understand that. But what is the word hamala used, that I took you out? Says the Gemara, maishna hochda hamal de kosher rechmana. Why did the Torah use that word, not hamaitzi? Amalei. So he said that the purpose of that pasuk is to teach us l'chetar de berishmo, the Tana berishmo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amalei Leisis Yisrael Me'at Mitzrayim. Had I not taken out Klai Yisrael, I lifted them up, Ela B'Tshvil Davazesh, Enim Matamim B'Shrotzim, that they're careful not to eat non-kosher insects, Dayi. Amalei U'minofish Agrai Tfei is the reward for not eating non-kosher insects even greater than avoiding ribbis and for wearing tzitzis and for having mishkoilos honest weights. Amalei afgav the loy nafesh agrayu. Yes, I can't say that this mitzvah carries with it more schar than another mitzvah. However, tveim islam achlayu, they are disgusting to be eaten, and therefore the person who avoids eating them is raising himself up more than everybody else. And that's what I saw that Ben Hayada explains. What is the connection between Yetzias Mitzrayim and not eating this non-kosher food? Because a person who eats kosher food lifts himself up. A person lifts himself up by eating kosher food and avoiding non-kosher food. Mitzrayim represents the Erves Haaretz. And therefore, people, by us leaving the Erves Haaretz, we're able to lift ourselves up by eating, and that is represented by us eating kosher food. He says another pshat, the Gemara, the Medrash says that why were Klal Yisrael told that they may not eat non-kosher food, and it was not said to the other people of the world. So the Medrash gives a mashal. The mashal the Medrash gives is that two patients came to a doctor. And one of the patients, the doctor, gave him all sorts of warning what he's allowed to eat and what he's not allowed to eat. And the other patient wasn't given any of that kind of instruction. And the patient who was given that instruction is upset. Why did you give me all these instructions and not the other patient? He says, actually, the reason I gave you these instructions is because you, there's hope for. You could get better. And because you could get better, I'm telling you which foods to avoid that will prevent you from being sick, will make you better. The other patient, it's a hopeless situation. Since it's a hopeless situation, he could eat whatever he wants to eat. When Klal Yisrael were told, says the Ben Yoyada, only to eat kosher food, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Klal Yisrael is that you have the ability to lift yourself up to be the great Klal Yisrael. But in order to get there, you have to be careful with what you eat and don't eat shkatz and ramoshim. Unlike the Mitzrim are going to remain the Mitzrim no matter what, and they could eat whatever they want. And explains Rav Chaim Shmulevitz that this eating kosher food shows how great we are. And that's why the Ksav Sofer says, the Medrash says, Al yomi efshe b'basa chazir. Person shouldn't say, I don't want to eat non-kosher food. Al yomi, he should say, efshi, I do want to eat. Al she'ovi she'b'shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer alai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that told me what I may eat and what I may not eat. So explains the Ksav Sofer, why is it so necessary that should be our attitude? So he explains, because now we're learning that not eating non-kosher food is a representation of that we're greater than everyone else. So if you're going to say, I don't want to eat it because it's not good, so then you're not eating it because you don't enjoy it. But that doesn't show who we are. How are we represented that we don't eat it because we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By saying, I want to eat it, but my esrish HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes rely. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah taught us, Eza tarbis hamarba peiris, ketz alokach himene hitam adin azov. Ask the Gemara, otokal hanad amin hashta lav ribisu. Weren't all the cases that were mentioned previously in the Mishnah also not ribis? What does the Mishnah mean with these words? Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Atkan, the first cases of the Mishnah represented shel Torah ribis d'oraisa. Mekan ve'elach, now the Mishnah is beginning to illustrate shel devrayim ribis d'rabbonin. Kenan marava, atkan shel Torah, the first part of the Mishnah represents d'oraisa, mekan ve'elach shel devrayim. Says the Gemara, atkan, when we speak about ribis d'oraisa, yochin rasha ve'yil b'tzadik. Even though you could have a father who earned money through ribis, if he dies, in the children who are tzaddikim, the halach is they don't have to give back. Ask the Gemara, at kamasulo, is that only the din by ribis d'oraisa, not by ribis d'rabbanan? On the contrary, if by ribis d'oraisa the children don't have to give back the money, certainly they don't have to give it back by ribis d'rabbanan. Elafilu at kan yochin rosh of yibus tzaddik. that the father earns the ribbis and he would have to give it back, and the children don't have to. Furthermore, explains the Gemara, Atkan, the first part of the Mishnah is ribbis ktsutza. The definition of ribbis ktsutza is that a person knows upfront how much he's going to get. I lend you $100 with the intention that you're going to give me back $120. The kanva elich, the other cases by ribbis drabanan, are avak ribbis. They're not the real ribbis, they're only avak, like dust. Like Rashi says, we find by Lashon Hara, there's avak Lashon Hara. Amar Belazar, ribbis ktsutza, ribbis which is also b'deraisa, yoytze b'dayorim. The halacha is that the yonim can make him give it back. There's a machlokes, how far does it go? Does it mean that if there's a din Torah, the dying will say you have to give back money that you earned with ribbis? Or does it mean that the yonim actually have the authority to confiscate that money? Avak ribbis, any yoytze b'dayorim. Even that, Bezin doesn't get involved. Why not? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish this person terrible for doing ribbis, but he won't loyally shove, and Bezin doesn't get involved. A person's Yirah Shemayim should prevent him from taking or giving ribbis, but not that Bezna gets involved. Rav Amma, Magrufa de Kroshmila, we could see it from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Mois Yumas Dama Bayiya, Huk Shemavli Ribbis, L'Shef Chedomim. Somebody who lends money on ribbis is compared to a murderer. Ma Shef Chedomim. If somebody, Rachman Tzlan, kills someone else, Loi Nitin Leshoven, he can't bring back the victim. Af Malvi Ribbis, somebody who lends on Ribbis, Loi Nitin Leshoven, that money cannot be given back. Bezin doesn't get involved to give back. Of course, the right thing is that the person who received money by Ribbis should on his own return it.